The bushfires came after a long drought and a severe hot, dry summer. Fanned by extremely strong winds, these fires swept rapidly across large areas of Victoria, causing widespread destruction. In the days preceding the fires, Melbourne experienced some of its hottest temperatures on record. It's a familiar picture this week, but that was actually a description of the bushfires of January the 13th, 1939, Black Friday. The parallels are very strong, and the forthcoming Royal Commission is certain to go back and look at the Royal Commission of that year, led by Judge Stretton, to see what's to be learned. But the parallels are not absolute. The historian and religious commentator Paul Collins is the author of Burn, the Epic Story of Bushfire in Australia.
The fires on Saturday seem to have moved with much greater rapidity than they did on Black Friday. Even though the Black Friday fires moved enormously quickly. But these seem to be, we seem to have entered into an almost a whole new experience with the Saturday fires. They moved much more quickly. They seemed to generate much more heat. Really, they kind of took us into a new dimension in fire behavior, as one fire expert put it. And I think that is absolutely right. What we're starting to deal with now is the fallout from global warming. The other thing that I think, and nobody much is commenting on this, but the other thing that I think is that there were actually more people in the bush and less protected in 1939 than there were last Saturday.
More people then?
Oh, I would think so, because people were working at timber mills. There are an enormous number of timber mills right through the area that was burnt out on Saturday in 1939. There were literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people in that area working there. There were only in Victoria, it's 71 people who died in Victoria on Black Friday. And I think part of the reason is that the Forestry Commission had mandated dugouts where people could take refuge. I think what happened to people last Saturday was that they stayed to defend their houses, which is good advice and very standard advice. They did that, but what happened to them was that they had no fallback position when they faced what is a new experience of bushfires in Australia. They had nowhere to go.
Many people might fear, though, that you say dugouts, but digging yourself into a hole in the ground, you might get roasted if the fire comes directly over you.
That is a real fear, and psychologically, people, certainly in 1939, found it very, very difficult to go into the dugouts. But the simple reality is that it saved the lives of many, many people. There are two mills that give you a very good example of this. Both they're across the road from each other, up near in the Matlock district, which is kind of east of Warburton. And Fitzpatrick's Mill and Yellen's Mill. Fitzpatrick's Mill had no dugout. 17 men died there. Only one man survived. At Yellen's Mill, there was a dugout. Only one person died there, the cook, and she died because the roof of the house where she was fell in on her. Everyone else at that mill survived. So while dugouts are certainly frightening things and seem very primitive, and I think that's why scientists have great difficulties dealing with people like myself, like historians who talk about dugouts, they seem very primitive and very non-technological. But in fact, I think that with modern building methods and modern material, we're in much better shape to, I think, build dugouts that perhaps might be more amenable to the way that we think and the way that we act.
So in this debate that's erupted about whether people should be allowed to repopulate these areas, you would be in favour of rebuilding, but perhaps mandating that a cellar should be built under every house?
No, we need to be very careful there. Not a cellar under a house. A dugout is something that is quite separate from the house, away from the house. A cellar under a house can lead to suffocation if the house catches fire. People have got absolutely nowhere to go. They're trapped. A dugout is really a trench in the ground outside covered with steel beams, galvanized iron, and perhaps half a meter of earth, or it might be dug into an embankment. You know, they have to be big enough to contain a number of people.
Sort of a bit like a wartime air raid shelter.
Exactly, like a wartime air raid shelter. On the question of people returning, I mean, I really think we have to ask some serious questions about this. People do want to live in the bush. I understand that perfectly. I love the bush myself. But if you are going to live in the bush, you have to clear around the house. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Again, that was something with bush timber mills in 1939. Again, it was mandated that there be cleared areas around the mill so that people were protected. And I think that houses require that. I think that, there are some areas that should not be repopulated. If one is on a ridge line where a fire is going to come up a hillside to you and there is only perhaps, you know, one single road out, then I think people really have to think seriously about building in such a place. You see this all over Australia. You see it in Sydney. You see it in the Blue Mountains. I mean, I'm flying into Sydney Airport. Sometimes you fly over ridge lines, and you can see houses built on a street on a dead end street, and there's only one way out. And the fire could easily come up both sides of that street to houses, and people place themselves in grave danger when they live like that.
Paul Collins, the author of Burn, the epic story of bushfire in Australia.